तच्छञ्जोरावृणीमहे गातुं यज्ञाय गातुं यज्ञपतये दैवी स्वस्तिरस्तु नः स्वस्तिर्मानुषेभ्यः ऊर्ध्वं जिगातु भेषजम् शम्नो अस्तु द्विपदे शं चतुष्पदे ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. We pray to the Supreme Lord for the well-being of all. May all miseries and shortcomings leave us forever, so that we may always joyfully worship the Divine Lord present within us all. May the medicinal herbs grow in potency, so that diseases may be cured effectively. May the gods rain peace on us. May all human beings be happy. May all other beings in the whole of creation may also be happy. May there be peace within us all. May there be peace and harmony amongst all beings. May there be peace everywhere in nature. The text we are studying is called Sadhana Panchakam, composed by Sri Shankaracharya. Panchakam means a hymn containing five stanzas. Sadhana means spiritual practices. In five stanzas, Shankara has in a very compact fashion given a list of 40 different spiritual disciplines that we may pursue. Obviously, it is neither possible nor necessary to do all the 40 different things that he has said, but each one of us can choose a small subset of these 40 instructions and pursue it to reach our own spiritual goal. The text of this hymn and the translation with transliteration is given in our website. You can look at it, look at the text copy, download it from our website. We are doing the 11th instruction. 10 instructions we have done so far. The 11th instruction is Shantyadi Parichiyatam Dhradataram. Dhradataram means firmly, with determination, diligently. Shantyadihi parichiyatam. We should pursue disciplines such as shanti. Shanti is one, but related to shanti is danti. There are two similar related disciplines mentioned by Shankaracharya elsewhere in his celebrated work Viveka Chudamani as preparation for inquiry into the nature of the self, nature of the divine. These disciplines are collectively called sadhana chatushtayam. Chatushtayam means a group of four things. Sadhana means spiritual disciplines. Fourfold disciplines expected of all spiritual seekers. These are the fundamentals. Just as we need to master the fundamentals in every field before we can make any advancement in that field, for spiritual progress also, we have to master certain fundamental disciplines. These are that. Among those fundamental disciplines, which we had occasion to study some time ago, under the name Sadhana Chatushtayam, fourfold disciplines, two of them are Shanti and Danti, also called Shama and Dhamma. Shama Dhamma Adishatka Sampattihi. Shankara calls these disciplines wealth. Sampatti means wealth. Wealth means not material wealth. Material wealth is something that is going to go away. It depletes, and even if we If we are in good shape, the wealth may leave us. All the wealth may be intact and we may be unable to enjoy. Those are limitations. But this spiritual wealth is not like that. It says, pratikshana vardhamanam, as Narada says so nicely in his devotional aphorisms. If you have a little bit of this, it will only increase, it will never decrease. And it will take us to the highest goal that we are capable of reaching. So among those disciplines, fundamental disciplines, two are Shama and Dhamma, also called Shanti and Danti. Now we will understand what these are. As seen before, our mind and sense organs, if left to themselves, they have this tendency, natural tendency, to roam freely among the sense objects. Last time we had occasion to refer to a particular verse in Viveka Chudamani where Shankara compares this whole world to a forest consisting of sense objects, all kinds of sense objects. And the number and variety is increasing rapidly. And there is no end to the variety of sense objects, enticements, attractions. And the mind, if left to itself, roams freely among the sense objects, just like a wild tiger with no restraint in the forest, roams freely in the forest. Very nice verse in Viveka Chudamani. Mano nama mahavyagra visayaranya bhumishu charati atra nagachantu sadhavo ye mumukshavaha. Sadhus or mumukshus, people who want to achieve liberation, those people should not allow the tiger of their mind to roam freely in the forest of sense objects, which is this world. Otherwise, it will get lost in this forest. This forest of sense objects is a strange land, foreign to us. It's not our home. Our home is within us. Our home is the kingdom of God within us. That is where we are supposed to reside. We have left it. And we are roaming freely in this strange land of foreign things, sense objects. Leaving the presence of the divine, which is inherent within us, we have strayed away from our home. We are without any restraint, roaming freely, getting lost in this world of sense objects. Let us not allow that to happen. So the mind, sense and sense organs have this tendency. We know that from our experience from the scriptures. We don't have to read scriptures to know that the mind is roaming freely among sense objects. We know it every moment our mind is doing that very thing. So we have to restrain the mind and the sense organs from this tendency to roam freely, unrestricted, among the sense objects, getting lost. These disciplines, bringing the mind back from the sense objects and making it dwell on the subject, on our true home, on the self within, that is called Shama. Shankara defines Shama in this way, in Viveka Chudamani, verse number 22. Virajya Vishaya Vratat Dosha Drishtya Muhur Muhu Svalakshye Niyata Avastha Manasa Shama Vichyate. Shama means Shama or Shanti. That's what Shankara says in this instruction. Shantyadi Parichiyatam Dridataram. With firm determination, with resolution, resolutely, with a resolute mind, pursue the discipline of Shanti, etc. Shama, etc. What is Shama? Shama means restraining the tendency of the mind to roam freely among sense objects and bringing it back and making it dwell on the self within. Swalakshye, our lakshya, our goal is the self within. or God is our goal. The world of sense objects is not our goal. This is foreign land to us. Our home, our goal is the Lord within us, sitting within us, the Self within us. We have to make our mind dwell on the Self within us, on God within us. Repeatedly bringing it back from sense objects where it likes to dwell and bringing it back and saying, please dwell on the Self within, on God within. That discipline is called Shama. One thing that helps us to practice this, the mind will ask, why should I not dwell on the sense objects? So pleasant to think about sense of what other people are wearing, what are they eating, what is happening, the jewelry and position and power and fame and food and everything. So interesting. Why are you asking me to think about God, which is so dull? It's boring, all the time same mantra repeating. Om Namah Shivaya. This is so interesting, so much variety, infinite variety. And you are asking me, the mind will object, why are you asking me to dwell on that boring subject of God all the time? Then Shankara gives a justification. He gives us a hint on what we should tell the mind when we ask the mind to leave the sense objects and dwell on the Self with him. Mind will ask, why should I? It's so interesting over here. And it is so boring there. And we should tell the mind, you see, dosha drishtya muhur muhu. This very interesting phrase in that verse. Dosha drishti means, no doubt it is interesting to think about sense objects, to pursue sense objects. Very interesting, so much variety. But it is full of dosha. Dosha means blemish, shortcoming. Eventually, it is going to give us only unhappiness and not happiness which we are seeking. This is very nicely how to do dosha drishti, how to dwell on the shortcomings of pursuing pleasure from sense objects, is very nicely given in one verse in the 5th chapter of the Gita, chapter 5, shloka 22. There, Sri Krishna says, Yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukha yonaya evate adyantavantah kaunteya nateshu ramate buddhaha. A wise person does not dwell on sense objects, does not take any delight in pursuing sense objects because they have no intrinsic capacity whatsoever to give us an iota of happiness. But that's where we are trying to find happiness. Sense objects have no happiness. Where is the locus of happiness? We are all seeking happiness. Seeking happiness is not wrong. That's what Vedanta wants us to do. Vedanta wants us to seek happiness of the highest type, which cannot be lost, which does not diminish, which cannot be separated. Seek that kind of happiness. Why settle for some small thing which come and go? Adyantavantaha. It comes and goes. So we have at length dwelt on the shortcomings of worldly pleasures, pleasures coming from sense objects. We have done that many times. So that is dosha drishti. Dosha drishtya muhur muhu. Swalakshye niyatavastha. Swalakshya means our true goal. Lakshya means the goal which we have to pursue is the Lord within us. He is sitting right within us. Vishwaraha sarva bhutanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtati. Vishwaraha sarva bhutanam hriddeshe. O Arjuna, tishtati sarva bhutanam hriddeshe. In the hearts of all the beings, O Arjuna, Ishwaraha tishtati. The Lord is sitting. That is given. He is not absent. Even now he is not absent. The problem is that I may not be aware of his presence, but his presence is not affected by my unawareness, by my being not aware of his presence. I may forget him, but he never leaves me. He is our very self. So we have to make the mind repeatedly dwell on the presence of the divine within us, and that discipline is what Shankara wants us to pursue, practice. Shantyadi parichiyatam dridataram. But he did not say only shanti, only shama. He says adihi, other disciplines such as that one. What's the other discipline? So many disciplines are there. 6 of them are there. You will take one more. Second one, companion to shama is dhamma. This sounds similar, but a little bit different, related. Dhamma means making the sense organs dwell on the self within. The sense organs and the mind, they're both going outwards. That we know from the study of Kathopanishad. We studied Kathopanishad in a series of Sunday talks, and also Swami Atmagyananji taught Kathopanishad as a series of Wednesday evening classes. It's still going on. There, Yama says to Nachiketa, the mind and the sense organs have a natural tendency to go and dwell on sense objects outside, thereby depriving of them of the opportunity to dwell on the self within, which is what they should be doing. So bringing the sense organs back from their engagement with the sense objects and making them dwell on the self within, that discipline is called dhamma or dhanti. That is defined by Shankaracharya in this way, in the Viveka Chodamani. Vishayebhyah paravartya sthapanam svasva golake ubhayesham indriyanam sadamah parikirtitaha. This is verse number 23 in Viveka Chodamani. Dhamma means making the sense organs dwell on the self by withdrawing them from the sense objects. Eye wants to see something, what other people are wearing. Ear wants to hear, what language are they praising me or blaming me? Or some iPod, some music is going on here into the ears. Tongue wants to always taste something nice and pleasant. Tongue wants to always speak something necessary or unnecessary, relevant or irrelevant. Like this, the sense organs are always engaged with sense objects. That is their natural tendency. But self-effort lies in making these sense organs leave this their engagement with sense objects, making them come back and dwell on the self within. That discipline is called dhamma. Ubhayesham indriyanam, ubhayesham indriyanam, of both kinds of indriya. Ubhaya means both. Ubhayesham indriyanam, there are two kinds of indriyas. What are they? Karmendriya and Jnanendriya. Karmendriya means the 5 sense organs of action, hands and feet, etc. Tongue, speaking instrument, eating instrument. Jnanendriya means 5 sense organs of perception, through which data about the external world comes to the mind. Eyes and ears, sense of touch, etc. So making these 10 sense organs, ubhayesham indriyanam, dwell on the self within, that discipline is called dhamma. So Shankara, Sri Krishna also says same thing in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, shloka 27. For those who want to pursue. Sparshan kritva bahir bahyan. Sparsha means sense organs. The sense organs are engaged with sense objects. Bringing about that disengagement and making the sense organs and mind both dwell on the self within. That pair of disciplines, the twin disciplines, are called Shama and Dhamma. This we have to pursue. If we don't pursue this, what happens is, the moment I see a sense object with my eyes, or hear about something with my ears, that very moment, that exposure of my mind to the sense object outside generates a desire for that sense object in my mind. No, that is not all. Even if there is no sense object in sight, or it may not even exist, but the mind from its own internal resources of stored impressions can generate desire for that sense object. A person is sitting in a closed room, there's nothing there, nobody is there, but that person's mind roams all over the universe freely and comes up with all kinds of desires. Therefore, what is the first step we have to do in spiritual practice? How to practice Shamandama? That is the next question. To find answer to this question, how to practice Shama and Dhamma, we don't have to go too far. We have that information already available to us. We are not the first people to face this problem. Our ancestors had the same problem, and among all those people, the most celebrated student who had this problem of how to practice Shama and Dhamma was none other than Narada Maharshi himself, the great sage, Devarshi Narada. He was the master of all kinds of, all branches of knowledge. All aparavidya he had mastered, but he didn't have peace of mind. He had no peace of mind. He was the master of all sciences, arts and everything. Huge list he gives, from astronomy to zoology, everything. Social sciences, history, geography, politics, grammar, linguistics, everything he knew. But he didn't have peace of mind. So he goes to the greatest of all teachers, Sanat Kumara, great sage, son of Brahma himself. And Narada explains his predicament. Sir, I have studied all these branches of knowledge. I have mastered them, but I don't have peace of mind. From great people like you, I have heard that peace of mind comes only by knowing the self. Tarati shokam atmavit iti bhagavad drishyebhyah shrutam. I have heard from great people like you, Narada says to Sanat Kumara, that peace of mind comes not from worldly knowledge, but from knowing the self. And I don't know the self. Shokasya param tarayatu, O sir, please help me to cross over the ocean of grief, sorrow, and reach eternal peace. That is how Narada's quest begins. And when Narada says that Sanat Kumara, being the highly skilled teacher, he takes him from where Narada was. Narada was at the verbal level. He knew all the words. He knew all the text. He could repeat the text backwards and forwards. That's all he knew. But he did not know anything more than textual knowledge. When we read Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita, we acquire text knowledge of the text. We can repeat the text in Sanskrit and English and comment on them. But that is just the beginning. That is not going to give us peace of mind. It may even be counterproductive, because if it is then too much, we may take pleasure in displaying that kind of knowledge, and that gives us pride. Oh, I know all these things. That is not good. Shastra anuvartanam tyaktva, Shankara says in Vivekasudamani, giving up the needless pursuit of scholarly knowledge to display scholarship, to gain rewards and fame. That is not, that's an obstruction in our spiritual path. So what does Sanat Kumara teach Narada? He already knew the texts. So Sanat Kumara takes him step by step in his small increments of knowledge, from where he was, to the highest knowledge, to knowledge of the self. But then how do I begin? Where do I begin? All this knowledge about Brahman and everything which we read in the scriptures is fine, but I am here right now, unable to control my mind. What am I supposed to do? I sit down for japa and mind goes everywhere. Manumato dahundi sifirai. So what am I supposed to do? That was Narada's predicament. Sanat Kumara says, all right, I'll tell you something which you can do, starting from where you are right now. That is the hallmark of a good teacher. The teacher assesses where the student is and gives instruction that the student can follow. So the first instruction that Sanat Kumara gives to Narada is what? This came earlier. What did Sanat Kumara say to Narada? What Shankara is telling us now. He says, Ahara Shuddhau Sattva Shuddhihi. That is a famous sentence in the Chandogya Upanishad, 7th chapter of Chandogya Upanishad. Ahara Shuddhau Sattva Shuddhihi. Ahara means what? Ahara means food. That is what we understand. So therefore, when people hear this kind of instruction, purify the food, eat pure food, then your mind will become pure. Sattva Shuddhi means purity of mind will come. Therefore, religion goes to the kitchen. Food has to be vegetarian, food has to be organic, food has to be prepared in utensil which has been washed 4 times with tamarind and everything. Our religion becomes kitchen religion, as Swamiji says. But that is not the real meaning of food. Ahara does not mean only the food that we eat or drink. Ahara means what? All the data that goes through any of the 5 input channels to the mind. The things that we see is ahara to the mind. To the mind it is food. If I watch all kinds of TV shows without restraint and then sit down for a meditation, what will I be thinking about? All those things will come. I have taken food which I should not have ingested. I have seen things which I should not have seen. Because they will come to the, they are in the mind, they have taken the precedence in the mind. It's hard to dislodge them. Once they take a precedence in the mind, those unhelpful impressions, it is hard to dislodge them. They come and they find a little opportunity during meditation. All the unhelpful kind of sounds I hear, all kinds of music and everything, all harmful lyrics and everything, what happens? They get lodged in the mind. And when I sit down for meditation, those tunes will come. So I've ingested bad kind of ahara. That's food. Food, the sounds that we hear, the sights that we see, the things that we touch, the things that we taste, and the things that we smell. All of these constitute ahara to the mind. All of these have to be purified, not just the food that we eat in the kitchen, dining room. So we should not hear harmful sounds. We should not see harmful sights and all kinds of TV shows and internet and everything. We should not go to places where we are not supposed to go and things like that. That is the first instruction in spiritual practice for spiritual aspirants that Sanat Kumara gave to Narada and appropriate for us. Ahara Shuddham Sattva Shuddhi. So that is the practice of Shama. There are a few more things. I have to condense that. Now we'll go to the next instruction. Instruction number 12. It's a very confusing kind of instruction. Shankara says in 12th instruction, Karmasu santyajyatam. It's very succinct. He does not waste any word. In 1 or 2 words, he gives the instruction. So the 12th instruction is Karmasu santyajyatam. Asu means quickly, promptly. All of this has to be done with a sense of urgency. As Sri Ramakrishna says, you should not be very relaxed in this one. Relaxed in this means, I have taken name of God and it will happen. Not like that. I must achieve this in this lifetime. I can't afford to waste any more time. Much of the time that is in this lifespan has already passed. Little bit is remaining. I should not waste it. I can't afford to waste even a moment of the remaining time. That sense of urgency must be there in regard to spiritual practices. Well, let us do it. If not in this life, next life, God will come. Not like that. That is not a helpful attitude. That's why Shankara says, Ahashu means promptly, dhradataram, with resoluteness, with determination, we have to pursue the spiritual practice. So, karmasu santyajyatam, literally, if you translate karma santyajyatam, give up all work, subject to gross misunderstanding. That is where we have to think, what does Shankara really mean? The word says give up karma. Karma santyajyatam. Quickly, asu santyajyatam. How can we give up karma? Actually, giving up karma is not possible physically. In the Bhagavad Gita, in at least two places, Sri Krishna has mentioned the sheer physical impossibility of giving up karma. Can we give up all karma? You think about it. You can't. Or he says in the chapter number 3, Gita, sloka number 5, there Sri Krishna says, Nahi kaschit kshanamapi jato tishtati akarma krit. Kshanamapi, even for a moment, no one can stay without doing any work. We are always doing some work. Even in sleep you are doing some, our mind is working, projecting dreams. It's only in deep sleep, for a short period of time, that we are relatively at rest. Nothing is happening, mind is at rest. In dream it is active. Work is both a physiological imperative and a physical necessity. We can't give up work. Again, he dwells on this topic in the 18th chapter, sloka 11, in the Gita, 18:11. There Sri Krishna says, Nahi deha brata shakyam tyaktam karma nyasheshataha. Completely we cannot give up karma. Some certain types of karma we can give up. So let us go back to the topic. What kind of karma we have to give up? It is very clear, fairly obvious, we have to give up nishiddha karma. We talked about it earlier. Nishiddha karma means what? Prohibited action, such as all immoral, illegal actions, telling lies, cheating, stealing, that we know fairly obvious, we don't have to dwell on that much. So those, all of those activities which should not be done, they should be given up. First instruction. But that is not all. Telling lies and stealing and cheating, etc., and doing unnecessary things, harmful things, that we have to give, that we know, we teach our children, we are taught that in the schools, and we know that one. That nishiddha karma has to be given up. Then something else has to be given up. What other kind of karma has to be given up? According to Sri Krishna in the Gita, besides nishiddha karma. Yeah, I heard the right answer. Somebody has the right answer. What is that? Kamya karma has to be given up. What is kamya karma? Kamya karma means any action that is done with a purely selfish motive, expecting something just for myself. That is kamya karma. Where does Sri Krishna say that one? He says at the beginning of the 18th chapter. Very clearly Sri Krishna says in the 18th chapter, second verse, Kamyanam karmanam nyasam sannyasam kavayo viduhu. Giving up kamya karma is the essence of sannyasa. Sannyasa means what? Giving up kamya karma. Kamya karma means, I'll give an example of a kamya karma. Supposing you go to the Shiva Vishnu temple in Lanham, and the occasion is your child's 5th birthday, joyful celebration. And then you go to the Shiva Vishnu temple and you want to, you ask the priest to do a Ashtotra Shatanama Puja for your child, in the name of your child. Party is in the evening, but morning you go to Shiva Vishnu temple. And you're requesting the priest to do Ashtotra Shatanama Puja. Ashtotra Shatanama Puja means chanting 108 names of some deity. Ganapati Ashtotra Shatanama, Krishna Ashtotra Shatanama, Durga Ashtotra Shatanama, whatever your choice. You want to do Krishna Ashtotra Shatanama, for example. Krishna, if deity is there, image is there in the Shiva Vishnu temple. And you ask the priest, please do Krishna Ashtotra Shatanama for my child. Today is my child's birthday, 5 years old. And the priest will, what the priest will do? You have taken coconut and all those things, banana, coconut, beetle leaves, beetle nuts and everything you have taken, and some money also you have put there. So priest will ask you your name, your gotra, the lineage in which you were born, Dirshi, and your nakshatra, the birth star. He will ask your spouse's name, gotra and birth star, nakshatra. Your child's name, gotra, nakshatra. And if you have other children besides the child, other siblings, their names and gotra and nakshatra, he will ask. And he will incorporate all of this data into the sankalpa, puja sankalpa, mantra. It says, for this family, with this as the yajamana, the head of the family, with this family, wife and spouse and children, etc., for their long life, ayurarogya aishwarya avivridhyartham, for the enhancement of their life, longevity, well-being, health, and wealth. Ayurarogya aishwarya avivridhi means augmentation. Praying to God to enhance the longevity and the wealth and health of the whole family, the wife and husband, wife, children, etc. Putra pautra avivridhyartham, for a progeny, etc., etc., he will add. And then at the end he will add Sri Parameshra Prityartham, to please the Lord. So when we commission a puja with the specific objective of praying to God to increase my longevity, give me a long life, give me good health, give me wealth, keep my children happy, give them good health and long life and wisdom and everything. When you pray to God, you are praying for specific things from God, not necessarily for devotion to God or knowledge. But as a safety net, precaution, you add a general class, Sri Parameshara Prityartham, to please the Lord. Oh, that is already there. But on top of that, I want this and these things. This is called Kamya Karma. Going to God, asking God for long life, good health and wealth for me and all my family members. That is Kamya Karma. But a true devotee of God, as Sri Krishna says in the 7th chapter of the Gita, does not ask for anything. An ordinary devotee who has Vaidhi Bhakti, preparatory Bhakti, he asks for things from God. He goes to God. That is a good thing he does. Sukritinaha. Sri Krishna calls them good people doing good deeds. They are going to God. That itself is a good thing, to go to God, even if you are asking for worldly things. But going to God and asking for small things rather than asking for knowledge and devotion, that is Kamya Karma. Just going to President Obama, supposing grants me an interview and says, what can I do for you? And if I say, I want $2, then I'm wasting the opportunity. I have this meeting with this highest authority in this country, the great United States. It's a rare opportunity. How many times will a Swami get an opportunity to see the president? And he has granted me the interview. And he says, sir, what can I do for you? I'm glad you came to the White House. I want $2, Mr. Obama. What kind of wisdom is that? That is what we do when we pray for Kamya. Ishtartha Siddhyartham, Sakalabhishta Siddhyartham, everything, all my desires be fulfilled. That is, should be given up. So Sri Krishna says, first step is, two things you have to give up. Remember, we'll leave that topic there. We'll pursue it next time. Two things we have to give up. Shankaracharya says, give up karma. All karma we cannot give up. Physically impossibility to give up all karma, right? But then we have to give up two kinds of karma. What are they? First is nishiddha karma, bad deeds, telling lies, cheating, etc. Impure deeds we should not do. Second kind of karma to be given up is kamya karma, should not go to God and ask for, please give me long life. Please say, I have this disease, please cure me this of this disease. Like this, if you are, is it wrong? It's not wrong. Kamya karma is doing wrong, is not wrong. Sri Krishna elsewhere says it is okay at a certain stage in our spiritual life to ask for the small things. But we have to grow from there. You can't be stuck at that level. Where does Sri Krishna says it is okay to God for to remove our difficulties? You remember 2-3 shlokas in beginning with the 16th shloka in 7th chapter. There Sri Krishna says, Chaturvida bhajante mam jana sukritino arjuna. 4 kinds of people worship me, O Arjuna. Who are they? Artha. First person who worships me is a person who is in distress. Some kind of problem has come. Health problem, job problem, children problem, parent problem, spouse problem, some problem has come. And then I'm going to God. Oh Lord, please, this problem has come, please free me from this problem. That is called kamya karma. Is it good or bad? In one place, Sri Krishna says it is okay. Sukritinaha. Udara sarva evaite. All of these people, they are praying to God. If somebody wants money, artharthi means a person who wants money, he goes to God and flow, please grant me promotion. I don't have enough money. Like this. So it is okay, Sri Krishna says, but you have to grow from the outgrow that need to ask for small things. Ask, if you are asking for something, ask for the highest thing, which includes all the small things. If you ask for $1 billion, then $5 are included in it. You don't have to ask for $5. So ask for the highest price, highest thing that he can give, and then all the small things are automatically included in it. You don't have to ask for it. Highest gift you can ask for God from God is what? Pure devotion or knowledge. That is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, when we pray to God, what we should ask of God? This very nice verse composed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Many times I have mentioned it. What is it called? Shiksha Ashtakam. Shiksha means instruction on how to pray. Ashtakam means a hymn containing 8 stanzas. Shiksha Ashtakam. Of the 8 stanzas, this is one of the stanzas. When we pray to God, what we should ask of God. Chaitanya gives very clear instructions. First he says what we should not ask from God. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadisha kamaye. O Jagadisha, O Lord of the universe, na dhanam kame, I am not asking money. Artharthi is cancelled. Artharthi means one who asks God for money. But a true devotee of God who has pure devotion, he says, money, that's the smallest thing. I should not ask God for this one. Na dhanam kamaye, na janam kami, I don't want progeny or disciples. Sometimes, supposing I don't have a family of my own, but I want to make a lot of disciples every place. So that desire is also not the highest kind of desire. Na janam kamaye, na sundarim kamaye, not a beautiful spouse. Beauty, etc. is good for the time being, but then not. They will go away. Jagadisha, O Lord of the universe, na kamaye, I don't want all these things, but I want one thing from you, I'm not leaving. One thing I want from you is, mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhakti rahe tuki tvayi. In this birth, and if I have to take more births in the future, in all those future births also, tvayi ishvare, in you, O Lord, ahetuki bhakti bhavatat. May I have pure, unmotivated, causeless, motiveless devotion. Pure devotion. That's all I want. Why I want pure devotion? Because pure devotion is the highest gift that you can ask from God. Nothing higher than that. What is the greatest thing that you can ask from God? Pure devotion. Nothing higher than that. It is even held to be greater than liberation. Even asking for liberation is a small gift compared to pure devotion. Pure devotion exceeds liberation. If you have pure devotion, everything I have. I have him. If I have pure devotion, I have him. Therefore, we should give up kamya karma. We should desist from the habit of seeking small, small gifts from God. If we have to seek something from God, let us seek the highest gift. So we have to give up two kinds of karma. We'll leave with that one. Kamya karma we have to give up. Nishiddha karma we have to give up. Immoral, illegal acts we have to give up. Selfish acts we have to give up. What other kinds of things we have to do, we'll pursue it next time. Well, this instruction is still a little bit, a few more things are there. We'll pursue it next time. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramayah, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kaschit Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om. May all be happy, may all be free from distress, may all realize what is auspicious, may no one be subject to misery. Om peace, may there be peace and joy in our hearts, may there be peace and harmony amongst all beings, and may there be peace everywhere in nature. Harihi Om Tat Sat Sarvam Sri Ramakrishna Arpanamastu.